This is a podcast about adapting, overcoming, and thriving in life and business. I'm your host, Kirsty O'Brien, mum of four and meditation and mindfulness practitioner. And this is exactly where you're meant to be if you're ready to ditch the guilt and self-doubt and start showing up as the woman you were meant to be. This is the Mindful AF in Life and Business podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mindful AF in Life and Business. I'm very excited today. I'm joined by Danielle from Around the Table. Hello, Danielle.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. I think I came across what you do on Facebook, and I really, like, as a mum of four, and we're just chatting before we started this interview about, you know, how they're all growing and changing, and I'm really sort of passionate and also like ripping onto my meal times with my family. So I love what you do. So could you give everybody that's listening that doesn't know what you do some background about what is Around the Table?
Okay, great. Around the Table is all about helping families connect and engage over dinner. So making dinner easier, and we do that through dinner conversation cards that are designed specifically for families. So here's a pack here, and they come in a handy little pouch, and inside are lots of questions and games to make dinner times fun.
Oh, I love that. It's such a great idea and so simple.
Very simple. But that's the best part about it is if it's too complicated, nobody will do it. If it's nice and easy and makes dinner easier as well, then yeah, families will use the cards.
Yeah, 100%. So what made you want to create something like this?
I created it at the start for myself. I actually found that I've got three kids. And our twins and our singleton, as they're called, in the twin world. And I had them within 16 months of each other. So it was pretty mental at my house, yeah. Very mental. And I just wasn't enjoying, the older they got, the less I was enjoying meal times with them. In fact, my husband and I were eating a whole separate meal, you know, after they had finished, because I was just rushing to get them through dinner time and into the next step. Like, what does that look like? So I was, in fact, skipping sitting down and eating together as a family. And it just didn't feel right. I don't know, like, intrinsically or whether it's a mum thing or fond childhood memories. I just thought, I'm pretty sure it's not meant to look like this.
Yeah.
And I just started Googling, like every good mum does. And I found out that, you know, a lot of people are struggling with it, find it unrewarding, find dinner time really challenging, we're really tired. But what I also found, which was not what I was looking for, was a whole host of benefits to sitting down and eating together as a family. And I didn't expect to see that at all. And they were social, emotional, and academic benefits that I thought, gosh, not only did I not know this, but my family are not getting any of these benefits. And and because we weren't sitting down together and eating together as a family. So I thought, well, how do I make it easier and more fun? And that's when I started thinking about dinner conversation cards and started speaking to some school counsellors to find out their thoughts. And I touched base with a child psychologist as well. Both of whom have contributed to the questions on the cards. So just to kind of say, look, I need this to deliver on my promise of making it easy and engaging and fun so that parents can actually sit down and enjoy meal times.
Oh, I love it. And so it's cards that create conversations?
Yes. So, in fact, the original pack that I launched has games and questions. So here's like a couple of questions here. So talking about happy place and do you prefer to ride on a bike or a scooter? So these are from my Tiny Tots cards, so for little guys and gals. And But the original pack has games and questions. So some things to do before and during dinner, as well as open-ended questions to get everyone talking.
I love it. And so how old were your kids when you started this?
I started the actual product component less than 2 years ago. But myself, with my own handwritten cards, we started this when the kids were about, I'm going to say, seven, and just kind of started adding and just found that life just changed. Not only how we engaged at dinner, but what they ate at dinner changed as well, which was really surprising to me.
Yeah. So what changed?
I think what changed was I started, number one, stop talking about eat three peas. If you eat four peas, you can have dessert. And I stopped all of that functional talk. I mean, there's so much of our conversation around the dinner table is about what times drop off. And I just kind of call all of that cluster, all of that is functional talk. It's not really engaging. Yep. Past the salt, you know, all of that stuff. I stopped a lot of that. We started talking about thoughts and feelings and emotions and what do you like, what don't you like, and building up a repertoire of questions beyond how was your day. And then I also started serving from the table. So instead of serving at the kitchen counter where I decided exactly how much everybody got, I started serving from the table. So kind of more of a communal style where everybody took as much or as little as of everything as they like. And I just found that the kids really responded to that incredibly well and started trialing more foods. They started taking what they needed. I was wasting a lot less food as well. And I went from, I would say probably two out of three of my kids would be considered fussy eaters. I now have absolutely no fussy eaters within, I would say, probably about 2 or 3 years of changing. They changed their entire diet. It was incredible.
Why do you think that is?
I think because they had control. They had the power to choose. In fact, I would say there was a little bit of not trickery, but that's the wrong word, but there was a little bit of parenting happening. So I would say, for example, if we were to have spaghetti bolognese, I would separate out the pasta, the meat component, some vegetables, some cheese. And that's pretty much it. That's spaghetti bolognese. And then would say you can have as much or as little as you want, but you have to take something from all four bowls. But they're 100% in control.
Yeah.
And then the little parenting hack that comes in is you can place a large spoon on things you want them to have lots of and a smaller spoon on things that you want them to have less of, so it's harder to get. So there's a little bit of, you know, a bit of a mum hack happening there as well. But they totally changed. I also think I stopped the pressure of the food, like talking about the food while we ate, and we talked about other things. And so they were all about the conversation and less about the food. So, and I have a lot of feedback from customers that say the same thing, say, oh my gosh, my kids ate all of their vegetables. They ate everything that was on their plate and they didn't even realize.
Oh, wow.
Because they're focused on something else.
Yeah, exactly. They're not just sort of sitting, looking at their plate and feeling us as the parents staring at them. Like, when are you going to eat?
Exactly. Exactly. And it's also the modelling. Modelling is really important. And I think that's a big part of what I was missing in the early years, is that I wasn't sitting there showing them, look, I try these things, I eat them. Sometimes mummy doesn't like the food either. There's certain vegetables I particularly like. I'll try it again and say, oh, actually, no, I don't like it. And that's okay. It's okay not to like something. So modelling those really good healthy behaviours is really important. And by not sitting down and eating with your kids, they're not seeing any of that.
Mm.
So and good manners and communication skills as well. So I was really I was really cheating my kids out of a lot of really rich life skills.
Mm. I think that's a really, I mean, I've got four kids, and when they were little, that was a big thing of wanting them to learn manners at the table. I like that was sort of probably one of the biggest ways I taught them as they were little about manners, you know, thank you, just waiting for somebody and the way they spoke at the table. And yeah, I think that it there's a lot of social skills that happen at the family dinner table.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as I say, when you feed your kids and you're rushing to get them into bed and you're like, okay, and you start the negotiation or the tug of war about how many peas they can and can't eat before the next thing happens, you've missed that real richness of connecting at dinner time. And it becomes almost like a time trial, like how fast can we eat dinner tonight before we go to bed. And so I think when you slow it all down and go, actually, I'm going to be in this moment and we're going to talk and we're going to connect, and you start with, I suppose, the cards provide a catalyst to make that happen, and then it just flows and it's amazing. The whole dynamic changes.
Yeah, so the cards are just really there to help families transition into, you know, having those conversations, because sometimes we don't know how to do it, do we? We're like, what do we say? We're so used to doing it this way.
Exactly. I think they're good for, I suppose, if you're going from the world that I was in where you're not even eating together or you eat in front of the television, which is, a very popular pastime of Australians, is to combine entertainment and dinner together. If you're transitioning to back to the table, they really help with that. But they also help with, there's two other things. One is it means that when you ask teens questions from the cards, the cards are asking the questions. Your mum and dad aren't asking this question about what you think should be banned. The cards are, and it takes a lot of pressure away. And the other part of it is that when you use the cards, you ask a much larger variety of questions. So I find that there's kind of some common questions parents fall into, which was the how was your day? What was the highlight of your day? Or what would you like improved from your day? And they're kind of like the three that we tend to go to. And after a while, they get a bit stale. Yes. The cards give a much broader perspective of questions. And, a customer that sent a testimonial to me recently said, my kids have not only got to know me as a parent, but as a person beyond being a parent, because you're a participant in the conversation as well, which I thought was beautiful.
That would be, I'll just send me goosebumps. It's so lovely.
Yeah.
It's funny, I am currently guilty of what you said you were doing about serving up the dinner at the bench, and then, you know, and there's 6 to 8 of us at any one time, depending on kids' partners and whatever else. And it's the one part about mealtime where I'm obviously just stuck in this habit of always doing it. But I'm always the last to eat, then I get to the dinner table. My husband's normally like halfway through his meal by the time I've dished everyone up. And I'm thinking, I love that idea of the family style and serving it on the table like that. I think that even would enhance my mealtime so much.
Yeah, that's a little trick that that I read in some nutritional books, actually, to get children to start to explore more foods. The nutritionists will often recommend that you serve from the table and the children help themselves. But I think you're right. I think what happens is you end up serving up the plates. By the time the last plate's gone, the first person that's got their plate has already started. And then you're like, whoa, hold on, I'm not even at the table. Plus also we tend to kind of serve up, especially as the kids get older, the same format. It's like plating up at a restaurant, yet people like different amounts of food and enjoy different foods. And I just found the wastage was so much less when people would actually take with only what they need instead of that uniform approach. And as you say, you also are all seated before, you know, the first serving kind of happens.
So. Yeah, no, I love it. I'm going to do that tonight.
Excellent. I can't wait to hear how it goes.
I know that all my family will be like, what's going on? Mum's changed the system after 17 years.
I love it. But it'll be interesting to see exactly what happens.
Well, yes, I'm I'm very excited to, because I know for me too, that's, like I said, I'm not happy with that part of the meal time, if that makes sense. Like, it's always like, yeah, whenever I'm doing it, it feels like, oh gosh, I've got to the last plate. Especially if I'm hungry. So I'm like, what? That's such a simple shift that I could make that could, you know, possibly really positively change how I feel. So yes, I'm going to trial it tonight and let you know.
Sometimes it's just the little things that just can take the edge off, because by the time we get to dinner, we're all so tired. It's that you need like the little tips and mum hacks that make it enjoyable or just take the edge off so that you can also participate and enjoy the meal.
I agree, because you use the word enjoyable then, and it, you know, mealtime, and I've always believed this even when the kids were little, it's such a wonderful opportunity for connection, you know, for you all to be there. There's something so heartwarming even just about sharing food and enjoying food together. But then you have the pressures of life that can, you know, quickly turn what could be a really great, you know, opportunity for connection into bickering, rushing, you know, just like you said, you're exhausted and you're tired. And I just think the things that we can do to bring it back to those, you know, that beauty of connecting and sharing a meal together and you know, really just enjoying each other's company, so important.
Yeah. And I think we do put a lot of pressure on ourselves that it's got to look a certain way. And I think what one of the things that I say to people is every meal doesn't need to go on Instagram. It's okay. Like, you just have, the richness is around the table. It's not what's going on the table. So sit down, spend less time in the kitchen, because we've only got a certain amount of time each day. Spend less time in the kitchen or work together as a team in the kitchen so that you can have more time around the table, so that you're not doing that racing through dinner. Then you're also much more mindful about what you're eating, enjoying what you're eating, and enjoying the company. Because, I mean, a lot of the research that I read says it's about the only hour of a day that you actually get full attention of everyone in the family. Sitting down, a time to connect. Like, it gets, as you would know, it gets rarer and rarer, these opportunities to sit down and talk to your kids the older they get. And if you have that nice routine going that this is a priority in our family, then you're set for life. And, you know, it doesn't need to happen every single night of the week. It doesn't. But it just even one night a week is awesome to check in. It's the are you okay day that happens around the table.
Yeah, I agree, because I was telling you before we started, you know, now that my elder two are working full time, and, you know, my oldest daughter keeps saying she's going to move out very soon. And I just really makes you then like appreciate those moments. And, you know, so many nights I get a message, oh, I'm not going to be home, I'm going to the gym, I'm doing this, you know, from my son. And I said to them the other day, no matter what, every week we are committing to everybody being at the table. I don't care what you have on, it's Sunday night. And then, you know, when you do move out, you move out at home, you always come back to mum Sunday night.
And exactly.
The kids are like, oh, really, mum? Sometimes I've got things on. I said, it's important to your mother. Because I do think it's that, just as they're getting older and you're saying, it's that different season now where they're adults. I just really want to maintain my relationship with them and still stay as close to them. I don't want that to go away. And I think that, you know, mealtime is a really great opportunity to maintain that.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think as in the spectrum of sitting down and eating with your kids and hearing them, you can see the body language. Like, they might be telling you one thing, but you know your kids. You know, I know what you're telling me on the phone, that you're okay, but I can see in your body language over this meal that you're not okay, and we need to have a separate discussion, that, you know, you're not in a good space. Or I can see, you know, you've brought a boyfriend or girlfriend home for dinner tonight, and I can see you look happy, and that makes me happy. It's that moment to connect. But I will say, it doesn't have to be dinner. And I think that's probably something that a lot of people don't know, because there's lots of people that are shift workers or have activities on over sports and other pressures with work and working longer hours, etc. Is that it can be breakfast or it can be lunch. It's just that moment of actually sitting down, as I say, and being present and mindful and talking. And that's where the real benefits come from. It's not actually the time of day.
Yeah.
It just happens to be dinner because more people are available at that period of the day.
Yeah, I think that's really important too. Yeah, you've got to, as you said, things have to work for your life in order to feel the benefits of it too. So whatever that looks like for your family, of making that time together, make it look whatever it needs to look.
If you're a morning person and you're all up for breakfast, go for it.
Yeah.
Myself, I'm not a morning person, so it's not happening here.
Well, you know, it's funny, years ago my husband and I, you know, we had this little ritual. We always have a morning coffee together, and we're still doing it like 9 or 10 years later. And it was similar thing. How do we find that time where it's not about the kids, or the kids aren't also involved, and it's just about us, and not, like you were saying, talking about functional things, the to-do list, to talk about, you know, things that we want to talk about without it being jobs or chores or or issues, you know, just try to connect. And it's nice because sometimes, you know, if he goes to work and depending on where he's working, you know, I might not see him for 12 hours, and then you come home and then, yeah, there's a lot of people in this house.
Yeah. No, that sounds wonderful. Like that's that routine, and knowing that, oh, tomorrow that coffee will be there and I'll be able to talk through this and what that looks like. Or I've had a really average week. Let's, you know, talk through how we could improve that. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And so you've talked about the benefits that families can see by connecting like this. What are some of the benefits that, you know, families would expect to see if they, you know, start making this more of a commitment?
Yeah, well, there's lots of research that talks through the list of benefits. And to be honest, there's so many, it's almost unbelievable that an hour a day can really give you this much influence on your family. And it goes from topics that I think are really, really important, like lower rates of depression. You see higher rates of resilience in children that eat regularly with their family. We also got higher self-esteem. I mean, these are big hitting claims, which are just so powerful. And it's why I say it's the Are You Okay Day every day, where you're really checking in with your family. And as I say, both verbally and physically, you can see, like, how are we tracking, and know your kids. It also goes, the research also shows in teens less risky behaviours, like substance abuse and teen pregnancy in children that come from families that eat regularly around the dinner table. And then there's also academia, there's better communication skills, there's larger vocabularies, and self-assurance. So that people that come from families that eat regularly together also feel more comfort and more security in their family unit. So this is why when I read it, I was like, oh my goodness, how could I not be sitting down and eating with my kids? And I'm not alone. It's almost 50% of Australian families that don't sit down and have a conversation over dinner. So it's an easy one to skip, but which is why I'm so passionate about making sure people understand when you skip, you're not just skipping a meal, you're skipping all of these benefits as well.
Yeah, that's really well put, actually. Yeah, I think, and amazing benefits, especially for the kids to be, even like things like less, you know, risk behaviours. And as teenagers, the more we can do to try to help them to come through it resilient, but, you know, also with that, you know, strengthened emotional intelligence, I think it's really important. So I find probably, you know, like we've talked about, you know, parenting has seasons. When your kids are little, and you brought it up, and quite often we do eat separately from our little ones because it's not, like, it's just so manic. What would be your advice to perhaps people with younger kids in trying to bring the family together over a meal?
Yeah, I suppose the first thing I want to address is, which is a comment that I often get is, oh, like my kids eat really early, and so I eat with my husband when he gets home from work. That's kind of like the number one. That's why we don't do it. So my first response to that is, like, I get it, firstly, because that's what I did, 100%. But it does, as I said before, it doesn't need to be dinner. It can be lunch. It can be breakfast if that works better for you. But if dinner is the meal that you would like to sit down and start a routine with, a very healthy routine with, then you can always feed your children earlier and save some yogurt and fruit for dinner time when they're really little. And so they have yogurt and fruit when dad gets home. That's still doing your routine. They still know that happens. And they're still eating, and they're still seeing, mirroring your manners and having conversation. Likewise, if you can't wait for dad to get home and that doesn't work for you, that's not a problem as well. One parent sitting down and eating dinner with the kids is better than no parent. Okay. So it doesn't have to be all or nothing. It can be something. So it doesn't say that, you know, people that are single parents, it doesn't, or none of this works. The richness is in the conversation.
Yeah.
It's not in what's on the table. It's not in, like, how many family members can get there. It's actually in the routine, in the conversation. So that's kind of the first part. So there's a way you can get around all of this. And then I probably have five key kind of rules for making dinner time works. And the first one is to prioritize it. It's like going to the gym. Unless it's prioritized, it just doesn't happen. It slips away. And we all know we should go to the gym, but if it's not in your diary and it's not planned for, it won't happen. So make sure it's a priority. Like you said, to your kids, if it's one day a week, it's on everyone's diary. It's non-negotiable. That's the one time that we need to connect.
Yeah.
The second one is to share roles and responsibilities. So make it as easy as possible to not fail. Get help, outsource if you need to. If it needs to come from a packet, cook it from a packet. Like make it as easy as possible to get something on the table for yourself. I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. It's got to look a certain way. So share roles and responsibilities. Kids can set tables from a very early age. Kids can stack a dishwasher from a very, very early age. Like, start getting some roles out there so it's not all sitting on one or two people. The third one is keep the meal simple, which I've kind of touched on as well. Like, if you need to outsource, if it needs to come from a pack, if it needs to be microwaved, it doesn't need to be Instagrammable. That's okay. Save that for the weekend, it's particularly midweek. And then we've got no tech. So as soon as you put TV in front of a child or an iPad or whatever, you get this look. And there's no talking.
Yeah.
They all have the same look. They don't talk, and there's no communication. So you've lost the real richness of the dinner. And it's like, it's the same as if you sit in front of the TV and you might think, oh, we'll have a treat night and we'll watch a movie and have dinner. That's awesome as a treat. But you'll notice no one talks.
Yeah.
And then you've lost the benefit. So all tech has to be gone. That's not to say you can't do music. And one of my great mum hacks is, if you're going from a family that has tech and you don't want tech, get your teenagers to do a music playlist. Get them to do a different one each night so they've got something fun to do. There's still some kind of tech involved. But we're not watching tech. We're actually looking at each other and communicating.
Yeah.
And the last one is focus on the communication as opposed to functional language, talking about their manners all the time. And that's as opposed to, you know, I'm here, but I'm not really present.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. So that's probably my five kind of key tips to getting to the table.
Yeah. And so what age, do you have cards for different ages as well?
Yeah, we have cards that range from about 3 years old. So they're the tiny tots ones that I showed before. Then we have a teens pack, teens and tweens actually. So from 8 to 17. And then which are more about kind of sharing thoughts, feelings, and, you know, questions like what do you think should be banned? What do you think you should have to pay for parking in the city? Different kind of areas where they can start giving their opinions and sharing their opinions with you.
Yeah.
And then we have an all household pack. So that's for homes that perhaps don't have children or don't have other family members, so flatmates, grandparents, etc. And then we've got the original pack, which has questions and games, and that's kind of for families. I think it's from 6 to 16.
Oh, fantastic. I think that's important because little kids, you know, I find that they embrace these things really easily. They love anything where mum and dad are just with them looking
yes.
at it. But then teenagers are a totally different ball game. And if they're used to doing things a certain way, you know, you've got to sort of try to win them over differently, I think.
slowly. I think it's if you've got a child that's eating in their bedroom, which is a common teen trait, you know, enticing them out once with, hey, I'm going to ask you some questions, it's not as easy as that, as I'm sure you would know, that it's a slowly approach. And once they get to some of the funnier questions, you find that they are actually start driving, hey, can we play that game? It gets called, can we play that game with the orange bag? And then it just the dynamic changes, and then they start running the dinner and the questions and the game. So it's quite an interesting transition to watch.
It's amazing. I mean, just, you know, we thrive on human connection, but I mean, with just modern life, so often we can be most disconnected from the people we live with and not even realize it. So I think really looking at ways that we can deepen connection within our own families is so important. So yeah, I think that this is such a wonderful, simple idea. And you know, you're really sort of you're putting the ease into it for people, because I do agree with you before, you know, I think we tend to put a lot of pressure on like meal time. Whether that's like the type of meal that we prepare, is it good enough? Is it a reflection of our parenting? You know, we have all these expectations that just take the joy out of, you know, what should be something that, you know, is such a joyful thing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it's interesting when you look at research and it says that most people, when you ask them to talk about fond memories of their childhood, I can't remember the percentage, but it's quite high, are actually conversations about the dinner, what happened around a dinner table.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, how do we get that back? How do we get back to basics? And in fact, COVID has been one of my ambassadors for this, because it's actually slowed us down. We're in the home more than ever. We're not traveling to work. A lot of people are still working from home. So in fact, you know, whilst I think there was 50% of people that were eating in front of a TV pre-COVID, I would hazard a guess that if they did the research now, there's a lot more people that are actually sitting down to the dinner table now than we were 12 months ago.
I hope so.
So do I.
Oh, I really enjoyed hearing more about Around the Table, and I think it's such a fabulous initiative for not just families, like you were saying before, all households, whatever that looks like. So if people want to find out more about these wonderful cards, purchase them, where can they find you, and you know, where are you on social media too?
Yeah. So you can purchase the cards on our website, which is aroundthetable.com.au. And on social media, we're at families_aroundthetable.
Fantastic. So I have to ask, as my final question, do you have a favourite sort of conversation starter that you have with your own family?
Oh, that is a tough one. I actually looked at a card today and thought, gee, we do use that a lot. And that was about when was the last time you cried happy tears?
Oh, that's so lovely. I like that. Yeah, because that's like real happiness when you're crying.
It's beyond. And in fact, my children didn't know that you could cry and be happy. Oh. And that's why we kind of laugh about it still, because they were like, what do you mean you can cry and be happy? And kind of that was a whole conversation in itself. So
yeah. Oh, gosh, my kids have seen me cry happy tears so many times. They just, I cry at ads that I think is so heartwarming. Oh, they're so beautiful.
I know. I think the older you get, the more you cry at ads. It's a bit. Well, I'm in that bucket as well.
Jumping off and they're all like embracing. I just gets me every time.
I love it.
Oh, I love it. That's so good for kids. Yeah, like happy tears. Oh, well, thank you so much, Danielle, for your time today. And yep, don't be scared to look her up and grab these cards. I'm so excited to try family my meal time a little bit different tonight. The family is getting it on the table.
Awesome.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you loved this episode, I would be so grateful if you could take the time to leave me a 5-star review and share this with your friends and family. I really appreciate you being here with me. And if you'd like to know more about what I do and for some free resources, please head on over to my website, teamko.com.au, and you can connect with me over on social media at Meditate with Kirstie.